Greetings, this is James Gillen, and we're broadcasting live from Australia. And it's been an amazing trip. I've got Peter and Saul here with eSETI Australia, one of our branches. And I just left eSETI Japan, which was kind of interesting. Kind of a whirlwind tour there. We just did one workshop after another, and self-mastery classes. And I got to see some of the country. I got to see this massive Buddha, that the transmission coming off the Buddha was just off the scale. The little under the weather, you get a little bit of sinus thing going on, so ignore that. But overall, it was just an amazing trip to Japan. Got interviewed by several of the major magazines, was on TV, and kind of took it by storm. I didn't realize it was going to take off in such an extreme way. And the last show we got to cover Dr. Emoto's work, which is he's the one who actually took over Dr. Emoto's office after he passed over. So that was amazing. So amazing connections there, and everything's tying together. But now I'm in Australia, and it's amazing. Since I've been here, we've been meeting with some of the elders, and I got to see cockatoos everywhere. I see birds that people pay thousands of dollars for just in the wild, flying everywhere. Amazing parrots and birds up there. Some of the birds I've never seen before here. So it's amazing, go along the rivers and get out back a little bit and check it out. The second night here, I guess, we went out to hang out with one of the elders. And while we're there, well, actually the first night I was here, we had a UFO fly right over the house. And
well, it was during the day, 10:30 in the morning,
yeah.
You got to see the one straight over the house, yeah.
Yeah, so Peter got a clip of that, I think, on film, and so that was interesting. And then you just had one of those experiences where the whole roof became transparent.
I woke up sort of like in a semi-conscious state. And I'm like, Pete, look at the roof. There's a UFO. You can see it. The whole roof went transparent. You could see this big craft. It looked like something out of Star Wars, big ship. And I got up, jumped off the couch, ran and looked outside, and I could see just like three pulses of light. It was amazing.
Worked out as Arcturian too.
Yeah, it's kind of like an Arcturian trick. They like to dematerialize your roof for you.
Yeah.
And let you see them, and then they disappear. I know Tashina, a lot of people are aware who she is. She's an Apache wisdom keeper, and she has those experiences quite often.
Yeah, it was intense.
Mm-hmm. They descend right on the house, and you can see through the roof and everything. Mm-hmm. It's amazing, but they almost dematerialize or start materializing inside the house.
Yeah.
Yeah, we get that quite often.
Yeah, that was incredible.
And then we had another one we filmed during meeting with the elder there. It wasn't even dark yet. We had that big gold one come over.
We filmed that as well. There's a heap we filmed that night. And actual orbs amongst us as well. As we got that stuff as well.
All around the gum trees around us, there was these orbs and lights flashing all around us. It was quite interesting. And then I don't know how, I lost track how many ships. I think I counted at least 12, but
I think
the other people said there was more.
One of the kids said there was about 15.
Yeah, probably 15.
The kids were good counters.
Yeah. Got some big power ups. You got the one power up.
Yeah, you got the big power up. Yeah, got that. That was, I think it was a couple into it. Yeah.
That big one. Also, that same spot too. Sometimes you get the watchers. You get like the Pleiadian beings, watching you from a certain area on the land.
Yeah.
And that's what you'd notice more, that you've experienced here, is more Pleiadian energies.
Yeah, real strong Pleiadian presence and some Orion Council of Light presence. And that's the main energies I've been experiencing. Yeah. We just brought the lion beings in a little while ago, which was fun. I met Damien, what's his
name? Damien Knott and Melissa Kennedy. Yeah, so those, a lot of people know who Damien is.
Yeah.
Around the world, he's on Mexican TV a lot and filming heaps and heaps of crafts. But it was good. So when you met Brendan, what's the first the name before you meant to say before the king's name or the elder's name of the tribe?
Ulukai.
I think it's Ulukai. We're looking at that, having Brendan on soon as well.
It sounds like Uluru.
Yeah. So Brendan Murray with that Ulukai. Word. Ulukai Brendan Murray, he's the king of the Raven tribe in the Yarra Valley, area here. So it was good to see you guys connect up. And like you were saying, it's funny when you'll talk to a lot of elders and people worldwide, and you're saying the commonality of they all point to the Pleiades.
Yeah.
You know? Which is really interesting.
Yeah, I noticed if you go to the Philippines, the masters over there will point to the Pleiades as their origin. You know, if you go to the Cherokee Nation or Lakota Nation, a lot of the other nations, they'll point at the Cherokee, I mean at the Pleiades, you know, mm-hmm. as their origins. And God, I can't think of how many other, but it just seems it's so prevalent.
Yeah.
And throughout all the indigenous people that you know, they seem to know their roots, and most of them have memories, you know, back to the first plating colonies, which we found out are what, about 28,000 years ago when they started. They ended with Atlantis and Lemuria, which were actually plating colonies that went down about 12,000 years ago. But there was the Aboriginals are going back here to what, 450,000 years, even further?
I think around that. That's, they scientifically work out less than that, but they've got evidence. I think they're on the brink of breaking this, pointing around 450,000 years. They're pretty serious about that, yeah.
And that would go back to the Anunnaki with Enki and Enlil and the other people. But they also have, we're going to take a ride out, they have the petroglyphs out here.
Yeah.
Yeah, up at there's a few around places, some we can't talk about, but the ones we are going to and we can talk about are the Gosford Glyphs.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them
is that are in New South Wales.
That's in New South Wales. I think it's like an hour and a half, 2 hours above Sydney. So we're taking you over a lot of places. But do you want to talk a little bit? Because I've had Stephen and Evan Strong on the show, who are the main dudes that are working on this and getting it out. But you spoke to them. Was it a couple of weekends ago?
I went to. They had a talk here in Melbourne. So when you look at the glyphs, it looks like hieroglyphs.
But is it two lots of the glyphs Egyptian and one lot they say Pleiadian or they're otherworldly?
Yeah, there's a few different ones, and then they had a glyph sheet that had, I think it was glyphs from Peru, glyphs from Egypt, and then the ones from Australia. Mm. But what they're saying is that when you trace like our genetics back and you also listen to the indigenous stories of Australia, they say that we all go back to the original people, which is the Australian Aboriginal people, that we all have their bloodline. The other interesting thing on the glyphs too is that there looks like images of UFOs, mm-hmm. and they're not 100% sure on how the images got into the rock, because it looks like it's been almost like laser cut or burnt into the rock, and we don't actually have that technology today that can do that. Mm-hmm. But there's the other interesting thing that's happening at the same time with this is there's certain rocks that have been found on different places on the earth. A lot of them are being found in Australia, and they seem to have like star maps on them. And these rocks are kind of coming together. A lot of women are finding them, and they seem to think that it's funny because, you know, it's just normal everyday women, some doctors, being told to reach down into different places and then pulling up a handful of sand with a rock in them.
In the ocean and stuff like that.
And the rocks are being guided to come back together.
But sort of long story short too, like, I stress for people to check out the strong stuff, because the information's coming through that the Egyptians came to Australia long ago to get knowledge from the original people, and that now is they're able to prove, I think, through genetics and that everyone's connected to the original people, and that from Australia they offshooted into Africa and then Asia and other areas. So the outer Africa theory is actually scientifically quite scientists has been scrapped now, which is really big news worldwide. But
and you've got the gold in Tutankhamun's tomb,
yeah,
that comes from Ballarat here in Australia.
Yeah.
So they've actually been able to scientifically
prove that. Yeah, apparently they gold gives off a signature.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's really big news, I think.
That's what I heard. You can always tell where gold came from because it has a certain energy signature or something.
Yeah.
They can test that. And you know, that's... I mean, you share probably a little bit of the stories that he told us, but I guess there's a place where the elder wanted to mention where it was, but there's a place where the gold was just everywhere on the ground.
Yeah.
And that's where they got that gold, and then they traced it back to that.
Yeah,
you know, they collected a lot of the gold there, you know, for their work.
But there's definitely lots happening. What in the next year would be saying, and you know, some people are getting the same information as well. And that was interesting what you got last night. Mm-hmm. Is that when we bought Shijin? You bought Shijin, didn't you? With that information, yeah, with the information on the Pleiadian colonies and all that. And it seems to be matching up with a lot of other things. And again, with the original people story with the Pleiades, it's around the world, it's all matching up. And only now are we really hooking up. Getting the grand crew going, as you say.
Yeah, because it seems like there was multiple cataclysms, and we had the Anunnaki, which are actually the ancient Lyrians, because all the life originated in ancient Lyra that we're aware of. I mean, some originated somewhere else, but they're the root race for most of the people here on Earth. And then they went to the Pleiades, the Hades, and Orion system, and colonized those systems, and then from there they went to Earth, Mars, and Maldek, which is now the asteroid belt.
Or
some people call it Melona, it depends on which culture you're from. But there's extreme misuse of technology, and just like in the Atlantis, days of Atlantis, you know, the extreme misuse of a technology where the people who wanted to overpower and control and dominate others had control of the technology and were using it. The same thing, you know, we're having the same test now, the exact same thing is reappearing now. But it seems that after the genetic tinkering 450,000 years ago, that there was a huge, probably a pole shift or something, you know, the floods or something, and then 20,000 years ago is when the Pleiadian colonies started up, and then they went down, and so I think we're the remnants of according to the higher dimensional beings, we're 12 different star nations. We're majorly involved in terraforming the Earth. And
that's the same information. This is what's blowing me out talking to you more since we've got to know each other more. And also Brendan had the same information, and I had the same information in terms of the 12 races. And also, this is the fourth time. Each civilization, world civilizations overlap, but this is the fourth time, and it's like we've got to get our stuff together now.
Yeah, we're all getting, you know, in the spring of 2016, it's something big is going to come down. You got to be on the right side of the fence.
That'll be awesome for you in Australia, sorry. But we're only talking months away, aren't we, really?
Yeah, basically. That's not that far away. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they've told us all along that 2015, a lot of stuff was going to hit the fan, and a lot of things being exposed, and they are. And I think spring of 2016, where a lot of action is going to be taken, and needs to. You know, it's like words without deeds are dead. You know, and so you know, you can talk about love, and you can talk about joy and bliss, and that's all great. You know, but you know, words without deeds are dead, and so we need to start acting and start being, you know, proactive in bringing these changes about.
Definitely. And there's a war going on too. That's what people need to... And it's not a fear thing to be put in there, but it's like you've either got to get in line with your own mission and where your heart's leading you, or just, you know, you've always got time to change. It's never too late, but it's like now it's getting to the point where it's like you've got to decide where you're going to be for the next while, because you just can't wait any longer. It's got to be done now. And, you know, so many people are suffering out there. And we're talking about... You've been talking about with us the big breakdown of what's going on if we look at CERN and the big rich families and you know, the Illuminati and all the different factions and even the Archons. Everyone seems to be using... A lot of the reptilians are just gone now, but those that are left, it seems like they're at the top of the chain. They're really trying to use every tool they've got to try and put kink in our armour, I guess.
Yeah, you know, we've got... If you try climb the hierarchical power of you know, the ladder of power and wealth, you climb that ladder as you go up it, you know, you've got the corporations and you've got the 13 families, the main families, and then you go above that and you have just three men, you know, that are running everything, the whole show, and then you go above that and you start moving into some other unseen, you know, energies and things, and it's not all positive. So a lot of times, you know, people don't realize it, but there's a lot of Archon energies which are comprised of malevolent, you know, greys and reptiles and demonic type energies, that some serpent type energies too, that are have been running the show for some time, and they call it the draconian civilization are it's like a network.
Yeah.
And so we've been under like draconian law for quite some time, and that's being torn apart, and that whole program's coming apart right now. And so a whole new program's coming in, which is universal law, that's ushered in by the higher dimensional beings. And so the Pleiadians, the Orion Council of Light, the Andromedans, the Arcturians, and the Sirians, and all, they're all being proactive right now with liberating the Earth and getting rid of this old Archon network or this draconian law. Mm.
What do you reckon is some things people can do at the moment to help themselves in terms of with the energies and all that? I know that, like, I saw a letter you did not long ago talking about calling on Hale from the Orion Council of Light, you know, to sort of, and, you know, also there's Mikhail, but I guess trying to work energetically and be sensitive and work on yourself will connect you with these beings to help clear up what you can't clear up personally. And this is where, I guess, we're being guided and assisted like we're doing with the others now as well. It's sort of like everyone's got to pick up their game.
Yeah, and we have to be frequency specific to the Earth's evolution. And she's evolving, and she's going to the next step, next level. And it's all about, you know, bringing more love and joy and, you know, abundance, prosperity, all those things into your life, eliminating, you know, the old programs. Because universal law is basically universal peace, brother-sister love, individual freedom, prosperity for everyone. It's unity consciousness, and that's what's coming. So everything that doesn't align with that is going to actually implode or collapse in on itself. And so we're in that process right now. And, you know, they know it, the Illuminati know it, and the tyrants know it, and they know their days are numbered, but they seem to be doing all they can to hang on, which is sad, you know, because at any moment they could stop and change their ways and ask forgiveness, you know, on a sincere level, and redirect their energies towards the awakened healing process. Yeah. You know, it's funny because they're seeking power and wealth, but they're going to lose their wealth because it's ill-gotten gain. That's just universal law. And there's no power in what they've done. It traps them in the lower levels. Mm. And so when you're trying to overpower others or control or manipulate, you've trapped yourself into these lower levels that really have no power. They're powerless, basically. And yeah, they can manipulate some things, you know, and manipulate people and things like that. But still, it's a very, very low level of consciousness and it's not a very powerful space to be in, but a lot of them are figuring it out now, right now, and making the shift, you know. And so I think eventually they're going to find out that there's no everlasting gain in trying to control or dominate or overpower others and eventually let it go. But I think one of the biggest challenges you were talking earlier about the AI is that, you know, most of my sources, if they're correct, CERN totally exploded and blew up. And what we got was that a being actually appeared. I can't remember, I think it was a ninth dimensional being or sixth, I'm not sure. I think it was a ninth dimensional being appeared when they fired up CERN, and then they tried to kick it out, like amped up the energy, and it stayed. And you know, something happened, and the whole thing just came to pieces, and there's massive laser blasts, and they've destroyed it. But CERN was actually a doorway. They're opening a door for this Archon energy to come in. It's like demonic, draconian, reptilian gray energy or whatever to actually come in. And it's really bad news. And that's all hooked up to the AI network, which is a controlling, dominating network. And so the good news is that whole system there is just pretty much been blown to pieces and it's dysfunctional, which is eventually going to create a great burden off the people so they can awaken and heal in a much faster level. But I heard in prophecies that was going to happen, that the energetic grid that's holding people down and it's been suppressing people for so long is going to be lifted, and that things will move really fast after that. This seems to be part of those prophecies.
Yeah.
And do you notice much of a difference now that you've had some travel in, you know, from the States to Japan to here with ET contact, or, you know, with the certain things that people are working with? Have you noticed, you know, is there a commonality between all of the places and what we're all working together to do.
Common goal sort of thing.
Yeah, or is it a little
bit... Yeah, you know, I've noticed flavor? That what's really interesting is that they're much more receptive now.
Mm-hmm.
And they're much more open to their own soul heritage, you might say. And they're just popping right and left and reconnecting and remembering, and, you know, and in Japan, people are just blown right open. And,
yeah.
And during the transpersonal,
some of the photos,
yeah, release sessions, yeah. They're just blown right open. And and it is kind of a suppressed culture. It's a very controlled culture in a way. And to see them just laughing and crying and opening up like that was great. The very orderly culture. It's a hospitality culture. It was really. You know, it's hard to imagine how that many people in such a tight area can function, but they seem to pull it off.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you tried that in America, you know.
Like you said, you'd probably pull a gun on each other. Hey, you're in my personal space, and
yeah.
You know, get out of it.
We have these trains. We talked about earlier, they have these shovers, you know. And and during rush hour, you're getting on the train, and they just shove more in there, and they just pack you in like sardines.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going, wow, this wouldn't go over in America at all. You know, people would just not stand for it.
Not even here, too. There would be punch-ons. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Leave me alone. Give
me
space.
Put your hand up.
You also had a good sighting over there as well.
Oh no! It was you didn't have the sorting, did you? But there was stuff going on that people saw while you were doing stuff.
Yeah, we had a lot of people that were in the group seeing ships and things like that. And then the news covered a very large one that flew right over Tokyo.
Daytime, wasn't it?
Yeah, daytime. That's where we were.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, when I looked at the footage, I go, "Well, that's the hotel I was in. It flew right over that hotel." So.
And did you say you had a feeling or something with that as well?
Yeah. Well, I knew they were there. Right?
Yeah.
They were following us the whole time and staying tuned in. But I had an amazing thing happen because I knew I had a past life there, and I knew my name and everything in that past life, but I didn't know where it was. And when I got there, I really started feeling strong. Then I went to a couple temples while I was there, and I was talking about earlier the Amitabha temple where this massive Buddha is there. The energy there is just off the scale. We had a hawk right above us, kept circling right over us, really close.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of signs for that. But the, kick on, this isn't it, you know. And then I was joking around. I said, well, last time I was here was 600 years ago, and all these buildings weren't here. But it was kind of funny. But the, when I kept going through the temples and tapping in, and then when I got to Nachi, I just got blasted
mm-hmm.
with energy. And I said, that's it, Nachi. I need to find out about that. And then I started describing this place that I used to live at. You know, I was a monk up there, you know. And and I said, there's a waterfall, you know, and there's these temples. And I said, it's higher. It's a beautiful energy. So we started naming the different temples. And we got to Nachi and just boom, the energy just came in really strong. And so I didn't get out there this time, but I saw pictures of it, and it was exactly the way I remembered it, you know, and had visions of it. So next time I come out to Japan, I'm definitely going to take a trip out there.
Go and check it out.
Yeah.
Definitely. I think it was important you bringing up the AI stuff before too, just for people to be aware, because a lot of people will blow that off, and it's not to bring in fear, but it's just informing people on information for them to do what they want. And see, through Gigi in the Pleiadian contacts I've got, there was information on artificial intelligence which the Archon network is sort of mainly using with the Draconian regime in terms of creating an energetic grid through artificial intelligence to keep things in such a way where they can feed off this. And when you said that, what you said with CERN and all that and about the AI, and then even when we saw Michael Tellinger, which you know Michael as well, we saw him here, and he's showing how a lot of these ancient sites look like circuitry boards. They're not saying that's for the Archon network, but there's look at today's society when you look on cities and roads.
Yeah.
This is feeding some of that. And I was telling you in shopping centres, I can see in the food courts, not all the time, but this rainbow iridescent energy just being sucked out. So these are some of the techniques the other forces are using, but coming in the heart and consciousness is where we can break all that. But it's just being aware of these types of things that people are using. But the masters, they're here in service mode and here to help. And I reckon even one thing, like what I'm sort of getting now is to tell a lot of men to start channeling or trying to connect Kuan Yin to balance out the male and female energies, because she's hanging around. She's like female Buddha hanging around. And at the moment, we're trying to get that balance, but she's that loving, caring that can sort of balance that out, because we've got so much things going on where we are in galactic plane energetically, and changes going on here, and that we sort of need to use as many tools at the moment, isn't it? Sort of bring everything out.
Well, it was funny because we went to the mall. You know, I need to get some swimming trunks and some other things, and we went there, and one of the things, I got food poisoning really bad there. It's no better than eat food at the mall, you know. Paid the price on that one. But also, too, when coming out, remember we were walking out of the mall, and like in the underground part, we were walking through, and there's this spot there that was just like this black vortex. It was the weirdest thing. And I was cruising on, and when I bumped into it, I just went down for a second. I just went, boom. I go, whoa, what was that? You know, what the hell was that? And so, you know, I'm seeing that some of these balls are really anchoring in some pretty freaky energy, you know, pretty dark energy.
Well, it's where people go for all the materialism stuff, which we're trying to get. It's not like you don't need things to survive, but where all people are focused on what I look like, the latest fashion, entertainment, all that stuff, that's the place to be, you know, if you're into that. So that's
we have seen some, you know, reptilian kind of shape-shifting stuff happening there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially around the food court area, walking in and out. Mm. Are you liking Australia so far?
I love it here. I haven't seen a lot of Australia. I've seen some of it. I just got here, basically. Yeah. But I can't wait. I haven't seen a kangaroo yet, you know.
Yeah, you would say.
I'm sure I will.
You'll be hearing me probably swear at them trying to get them off the road not hit them, which is nearly happened a week and a half ago. But we're going to Uluru as well, Ayers Rock. We'll be going through Mount Buffalo, up Canberra area, Sydney, Blue Mountains, Coffs Harbour, the Gosford Glyphs, Byron Bay,
check out Byron Bay,
Brisbane, and the surrounding areas, Gold Coast and all that. So you're going to get to see good, you know, from outback to the country to up and down the East Coast, which is really where all the stuff goes on up and down the East Coast. Have you sort of, do you want to sort of go into anything you've been guided with about Australia in terms of hot spots and areas that you're sort of foretold where things are sort of going to go a bit ballistic?
Yeah. That was a good one, by the way, because I was just thinking that I was gonna go, okay, let's go on to this, and then picked up the question. So
everyone's done that too today.
But we're on the same telepathic page here. But I kept getting over and over that Queensland has a very strong Palladian presence there, and there's actually a lot of things anchored there in Queensland. And it was funny just talking to Damien. Mel was saying. She was saying, God, Queensland. She goes, I don't know what, every time I go there, I just feel this really strong, like, Palladian presence and everything. And I said, okay, that confirms it, you know, that there's something there. And so we'll be going through there and checking that out. So that'll be amazing. And then the main thing, I'm brain farting on how to say it.
Uluru. That's the original name. A lot of people call it Ayers Rock.
I really want to go there and check that out. And I would tell people, you know, if you talk to the Aboriginal people here, they'll tell you if you go to Uluru, do not take anything and do not climb on top of the rock. And a lot of people have gotten very sick and very ill, and there's people that have taken things from these places and actually died. You know, there's stories about that. So. It's not a good idea. It's a good idea to do ceremony when you go there. There's special ceremonies that Saul is aware of, and she's going to perform those before
we'll do
we
that
go
when
in.
We're there.
Yeah, you've got to respect, and that's something I know you're right into as well, is basically getting permission and talking to the land about certain things you do and getting it from all planes rather than just doing something, you know, if you haven't got the intention and the gratitude. And, you know, asking for permission to do things, you know, you can sort of get your butt kicked in some circumstances as well.
Yeah.
But with Ayers Rock, there's a lot of stories out there, and a lot of people don't know stories to it. And we've got told a bit about it the other day, which I'm not sort of willing to go into, but there is a very important area. We hear about it being like one of the chakra points of the earth and all this and that, but there's so much to it that it is an area that I'm glad that people aren't climbing on it anymore and they're respecting it. And it's just going to be awesome to see. It'll be actually lovely if we see it raining there, which I don't know what's going to happen there.
It,
but
it has this beautiful blue tinge to it when it's raining.
Yeah.
So it almost turns sort of like a midnight blue.
Yeah, as well, yeah.
There's lots of photos online with the different seasons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So did you want to go into some of the Anunnaki stuff too? Because I don't know about you, but I get a lot of questions about the Anunnaki Elohim. We talked about this the other day, how... like from my experiences, they're the same sort of thing, but different evolved versions. And yes, the Anunnaki come from Lyran. It comes down to those who from the heavens came to the earth. But you talk about another perspective on the Anunnaki in terms of the 12 and you know, the council. Is it 12 or the 13 coming here?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to talk a little bit about that? Because a lot of people will ask, and this is something I could probably get in reference to hear from your mouth yourself. And because I think it's really worthy for people to hear.
Well, I had this beautiful being appear to me by the name of Enha, and beautiful golden energy, and best way, and we'll have some pictures of her up on the website, her energy, she's about 8 feet tall, a little over 8 feet tall, 8'3" is what she was saying, and when you look in her eyes and you feel her energy, she's like the height of the divine feminine, just powerful and just love emitting from her. And when the first time she appeared to me, I just kind of said, "Yes, ma'am, you know, how can I help you? You know, is there anything I can do?" And she wanted me to talk about the benevolent Anunnaki, which people are not referring to at all. And so, not all the Anunnaki fell, and not all those incarnated here too as well, they're not on the wheel, you know, and they continued to evolve. They were highly evolved then, and they continued to evolve. So a lot of people are telling stories that are 400,000 years old and holding them in that position.
Yeah.
So the ones that are coming here now are sixth and ninth dimensional beings, and they're just incredibly wise and powerful, you know, very ancient, and they're here to help, and they're there's a massive recall going on, and they're recalling the fallen Anunnaki that were here, and they're also dealing with the reptilians and greys, along with the Andromedans and the Orion Council of Light and the Pleiadians and the Assyrians and Arcturians. They're all working together to liberate the earth and get rid of the tyranny. So, you know, it's important not to project, you know, that are demonized, the benevolent ones, because they're not. I mean, they're extremely...
Get chills when you talk about them.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, when I see a being such of her stature, and I hear people talking to her about them and negative, I just go, you have no idea what you're talking about. You know, you have, you know, you're living in the past, and you're bringing out, you know, you've done some research, and it's really old information.
Yeah.
And some of it's not interpreted properly either. Like,
yeah, misinterpreted.
Yeah, and if we look at things like even the rep, I have a lot of people going to me, I'm confused now, this dude's saying the Anunnaki reptilian, this dude's saying that and they're saying that. Well, it's like, well, for starters, the blanket term Anunnaki's been used as a blanket term to try and cover so many things that's just not the case. So
yeah,
it's really just, you know, the reptilians are the reptilians, even though there's different factions, but they're not the Anunnaki. And we spoke recently about, which I feel is important, like even you hear about the blue avians and all this sort of thing, that's a projection in terms of, later you even hear Corey, I think, talking about how they're actually these blue spheres, these balls of light. So this is where these highly evolved beings, Anunnaki Elohim, depending on what they are, or what faction, you know, from my experience, they're the same thing with different levels, they project whatever they want in terms of that. So it could be a blue avian, or it could be a blue light being, and those types of things. But this is what level of consciousness they're at and we're interacting with, isn't it? It's really high energy.
Yeah. And there's also all kinds of disinformation out there, and misinformation, so we have to be really careful. The most important thing is, you know, in talking with Enha, you know, she said, you know, we're here to right a wrong. They're here to clean up the past and assist us. And she made it very clear, and she said that, you know, we're not here for the gold, and we're not here to rule you either. You know, you need to lead yourselves from your own heart and soul, And they're all about self-empowerment. And so it's very important to realize that if you're looking for somebody to come and govern you and fix everything here and take care of you, you're looking down the wrong road, you know. If you want somebody to empower us to clean up our own act and make our own personal connection with Source or Spirit, whatever you want to call it, Creator, God, you know, everybody has a name for it, then they're the ones, you know. And the same thing with the Pleiadians and the Orion Council of Light and the Syrians and Dromans, you know, Arcturians, they're not here to be worshipped. They do not want to be worshipped. They want us to make our own personal connection with Source. And they call us the forgotten gods, you know. We're just floundering down here thinking we're a body and a personality. Mm-hmm. But we're actually a multidimensional God being down here that's oblivious to our higher dimensional aspects of self.
Definitely. And it's just reconnecting now.
You feel it in my crown as you're talking about it.
Yeah, my crown just gone nuts.
Nuts as well. We've had lots going on in here as well in terms of different beings and their energies coming through.
Good table tipping sessions.
Yeah.
But it was pretty cool because I've been having experiences with this feline being, and her head, in my head, her head's like this and these big blue eyes, looks like looking in the universe, and she'll pop in every now and then, and I was sort of getting the name that started with K anyway. James does a session on it and gets the information spot on straight up. You could just feel the energy in the house.
Yeah.
Just smashes.
And that's what I find too, like when you get the name, it's almost like that vibration of the name helps to bring through the energy even stronger.
It really does.
It's like a connecting thing. So mm-hmm. I'll quite often, if I'm wanting to connect with a being, I'll use their name as like a mantra to connect and bring through the energy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But you can feel
a lot of times, if you say their name like three times and then you say thank you.
Yeah.
Boom. Yeah. I already start saying thank you, and I get a boom, they come in.
That was like, incredible when you got to the name. So
yeah, it was. Yeah. You could just feel it being anchored in and just smashing everyone here, definitely.
And these beings, you know, these seventh dimensional line beings, they're the protectors of the gods.
Yeah.
They're the
yeah.
protectors of the ancient Anunnaki. There's a long history of them recorded in India. They call them Nasringa or Narissa and Sekhmet, you know, in Egypt and things like that. So the thing is, they left when the Anunnaki fell. They split. They said, hey, you're breaking universal law. We can't protect you anymore. We can't participate. And so they left, and they kept their integrity levels. But now they're returning, you know, to help us out again, to get, you know, get rid of the tyranny that the fallen Anunnaki created, along with opening the door to some reptilian gray energies, which unfortunately Marduk, which is one of the Anunnaki, created an alliance, you know, with the Archons and the gray and reptilian energies. And we're still under that, you know, we're still, you know, we need to go within and meditate and just say, I'm breaking all contracts, all agreements, you know, with these beings, and I only want to work with the Source or my own main teacher and guide or higher dimensional self, whatever. And it's important to do that, to break any and all contracts, you know, several agreements made in air.
It's really remembering our sovereignty.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
And our divine self.
Yeah. No, definitely. We're seeing that more than ever too, like, even with the line beings, that footage, that daytime stuff I got when they came through and went over the house, and I was getting that download and everything, they were basically saying that, look, we're coming back to help, but you've got to do this yourselves. But some of you have done it so long by yourselves that we're here to help you now because things are changing enough that we can step in. So this is where people, it's up to you, but these beings are here to help support you if you ask. But you've got to do a lot of the work yourself. It's almost like when you're strung out, they'll jump in. But they're not gods, they're here to help and to guide and assist you, like, you know, we're doing here to others and they're doing to others, and we're all each other's guides here in physicality as well. Just helping each other along and teaching each other, and this is where we've got to
let the guard down. We've still got one foot in front of each other.
Yeah,
got
to do the work.
Keep on tracking.
Like, keep up the practices.
You know, it's possible here to be in a 3D body but have a seventh dimensional consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people have a hard time with that. You know, you can attune to and channel seventh dimensional consciousness through a 3D body. You know, it wreaks a little havoc on it sometimes to do it. But, you know, eventually you get used to it. But, you know, we have bodies all the way back to the Source. And a lot of people have a hard time with that. But you know, it follows the teachings of Buddha and all the other masters, you know. And then, you know, when Jesus said, ye are gods and the Spirit of God is within you, and told people that he meant it, you know. Mm-hmm. And if you are children of God, when do you grow? What happens when you grow up? You know, what do you become? So basically, you know, Buddha's teachings were, you know, the whole universe is within you. So the one consciousness that encompasses all consciousness on all planes and dimensions throughout the multiverse is within. It sits right here. And we can expand that and become one with the source, or we can just hang out and be a body and a personality and play the ego games down here, you know. And we're loved no matter what we do, but, you know, why settle for...
Sounds a bit more limited, boring, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, very boring.
Comparison.
You know, it's funny when I hear people say, you know, I just feel so alone, and I go, God, how do you do that? You know, it's you know, it's like there's so many beings out there, and there's so many dimensions to yourself. Like, how do you do alone? You know, it just, that doesn't work, you know, and so... But you can fool yourself into thinking you're alone, but you're never...
Well, that's an illusion, isn't it? It's the illusion of, you know, like, separation is... That's the biggest illusion there is. And unfortunately, that can do so much damage, that separation. You know, when you think you're separated from all that is, and you are so far away from everything's one consciousness interacting with itself, that really is what the other powers want, because that's dividing and getting you away from what you really are.
Yeah, I've had people come to me and say, man, this is all bullshit, like this. And I start, and I go, you're right. And they go, what do you mean? I said, well, you're right. I said, that's your reality. That's what you've chosen to experience. You know, and I said, not my reality.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, if that's where you need to be, then, you know, bless you. Have a good one. You know, have fun with that. You know, but, and that's a trouble. You can't instill want to another person, you know, and you can't, you know, it has to be their choice and they have to choose to awaken. But the, I just think it's kind of hilarious when people say, you know, prove it to me. And they really don't want proof. They want to remain in their present understanding. They don't want to expand or take a chance or go outside their box. And it's even funnier when the scientists come, you know, and go, I've got a PhD, you know, I know all about UFOs. And I go, really? They teach UFOs in college, you know, and they go, no. And I said, don't they teach UFOs don't exist in college, you know? And they go, yeah, you know. And I said, well, do you know anything about the ships? No. Have you ever seen a ship? No. Do you know anything about the propulsion system or their cultures or how they live? No. You know, like this. And I said, so how does your PhD fit in here? You know,
mm-hmm.
You know, so, or where does your authority come from that you're projecting on me right now? Mm-hmm. And it's kind of funny, but sometimes you have to remind them, say, I hate to burst your bubble, but you have absolutely no authority here whatsoever, and I have no need of your acceptance and approval.
Yeah.
You know, so if you want to learn and experience something, hang out, you know, and if you want to disrupt and you know, strut around like a puffed up rooster, you know, go somewhere else, you know.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I think
that touches on the importance of not waiting for, you know, government disclosure too. That disclosure is really about, you know, our connection with them, and it's not really like a, you know, something that you need to be told, you know, like a truth theory story or something like that. It's really something that, you know, you experience personally.
And it can happen anyway, can't it?
I think disclosure is a really bad joke we've played on ourselves.
It is.
It really is, because... You know, in Texas, they did a poll after a major flyover and UFOs were filmed, and they did a poll, and 99% of the people said, you know, UFOs exist.
Yeah.
Right? And so everybody's waiting for the government to tell us it's okay to believe in what we already know, which doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. And the other thing is, why do we expect, you know, a group of people that actually have zero integrity, you know, and I have redundantly not worked in our highest and best good to a long history of lying to us, to tell us the truth. Like, all of a sudden they're going to say, well, you know, we've lied to you and we've made agreements and we've kind of sold you out for your genetics, and we've allowed them to abduct a bunch of you, and some experiments didn't go too well, you know, but it's the way it is, you know,
why do you think that is, that, you know, as a population, that we're waiting for, you know, like the parent to say it's real, or why do you think that is?
It's programmed.
It's programmed.
Just, it's genetic now. It's been going on for so long, and it's just, and the AI too, and everything.
It holds that.
You know, people, you know, they get this blank look on their face, that cognitive dissonance, you know?
Yeah.
And you'd be talking about this thing, and all of a sudden they just blank over.
Yeah.
And you tell them all this amazing stuff, and then you'll say, oh, by the way, you know, we're going to get some pizza, and, you know, and watch a football game. Oh, light goes back on. Okay. And they didn't hear anything else, and they heard pizza and football gamers, and then boom, they're back on again, you know?
Yeah.
So
you really see it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing. And And, you know, I was watching this, observing this one day, and I said, there's something else going on here. There's something being programmed to, like an off switch. And then the more I got into AI intelligence and the things like that, that people are actually programmed to their switch off. Mm-hmm. You know, when you start talking about free energy or UFOs or higher dimensional beings or things like that, they actually switch off.
Like a switch.
Yeah.
It's going to shut down, like a robot.
And then there's the herd consciousness. You don't want to be cut out of the herd because your survival depends on you fitting in, you know, and keeping your job and everything else. So, and then the Project Mockingbird and all the other stuff where they ridiculed everybody. And you know, if you talked about these things, you're met with deadly resistance at times, you know. Mm-hmm. So you know, you factor all those things in, and it's you know, the last 60 plus years, there's just been a major push to keep this quiet because we've been back to engineering for over 60 years. So.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, we've had crash sites and been back engineering ships back in the 30s. And people don't realize that. We've had a Mars program in the early 60s. We were already going to Mars. We've had a secret space fleet for quite some time. A lot of whistleblowers, you know, Randy Kramer, all these people are talking about that now. And I've talked to a lot of scientists who worked on these projects, you know, some I can't mention their name because they asked me not to, but they told me, said, yeah, we've been going there since the 60s. You know, Mars, we don't need to send astronauts up on these giant firecrackers hoping they don't explode, you know.
Yeah.
That's all window dressing. That's just to keep everybody, you know, being a nice little consumer and pay taxes. But it's just overall, it's, you know, not to be an anarchist, but our government just does not serve any purposeful good anymore.
Yeah.
It's become so dysfunctional and so corrupt and so, and it's just, there has to be a total, you know, reevaluation and change there.
I think that's the same here. I think it's needed in a lot of places.
Yeah, it's just going worldwide now. There was that country the other day, you were saying that the bankers were getting in trouble. Which country was
Iceland.
That? Iceland. See, that would be cool if the world would do that stuff, but it just...
And the money is going to the people.
Yeah. You know, all the lack on this planet is manufactured.
Yeah.
You know, there's no lack in nature, and we can grow so many crops. We can feed everybody and house everybody. There's no reason for that. And provide, you know, free energy and our fuelless energy. I mean, that's not a problem. And, you know, the problem is we just lack the leadership. If you went to a plating civilization at a very young age, they take their kids up on the ships and they power them up and they go into a light principle. It's like a near-death experience. And they're one with everything. They're a light being. And then they bring them back and they know what each kid's unique soul purpose is. Mm-hmm. And they give them all they need to excel in that area. And then... And they also balance that with other areas too to give them a balanced education. But automatically they give back to the whole because they're in unity consciousness and they want to serve. And so their leaders are chosen according to their spiritual adeptness and their history of service to the community. Mm-hmm. And we're doing everything wrong, everything backwards here. And until we adopt a different policy like that, and there's a series of steps to getting there, but we need to get some kind of a reconciliation, truth and reconciliation council, and really come clean with people that have been suppressing new healing technologies and free energy and bring out the whistleblowers and bring protection to them. And I'm all for giving amnesty or whatever to a lot of these people and just say, okay, look, you know, as long as you come forward and you say I'm done and and start shifting into assisting humanity and the earth, then you're, there's not going to be repercussions, you know. But you know, that you can't always say that for the whole universe. I mean, they might have their own karma to deal with, but it's just important that things shift, that things start going in a more positive direction.
It's just a matter of time, and that's what it's come to. The time's soon going to be up, and everyone's just got to get with it or just continue on their own path. I've got a few minutes left, but do you want to tell the viewers, those that are in Australia, or the listeners, what's going to be happening at the workshops, for example, here in Australia? We've got them in Melbourne, Sydney, Coffs Harbour, and Mount Sampson.
The 3rd and 4th of January, we've put some things on in St Kilda at Four Diverts. So tickets are available. We're going to have a talk on. There's going to be a workshop and a Skywatch with James. And then also again on the 23rd and 24th of January, too, we'll be doing the same thing.
And eSETIAustralia.org's got a lot of the information. Actually, everything's there in the links to the other sites.
But the tickets are already on sale, so make sure that you get your ticket right, they're still there.
Yeah. So what's some of the stuff people can sort of just expect, you know, to be dabbling in with you when you're there?
Yeah, we're going to do a lot of, we'll bring in the higher dimensional beings for people to experience, and then I'll kind of cover who's who in the universe and a lot of new information about where things are going, the shifts that are happening, and some of the future trends that are going to be manifesting. You know, just so much information about, you know, just earth changes, everything, you know, how everything's unfolding and the energy dynamics of how that's all happening. You know, showing some amazing footage, you know, of landings and you know, ships interacting with people and undeniable footage, as well as some of your footage that you got when you're in Washington at eSETI. You filmed, I love that footage you got where the one comes right out of the cave up there and shoots, this UFO comes out and shoots straight up out of the mountain. And
I think I only got that because I was filming another craft in front of the mountain, this one's just like, alright, exit, bang. And that's we witnessed so much of that stuff when we were at the ranch that
and orbs terrain, big basketball sized orbs flying.
What is it? It's like a friggin tornado going from the top of your pyramid guest house where the healing room and that is all the way to Mount Adams, isn't it? It's like this and it's not like, it's just sideways, it's filled up with orbs.
It's almost like two dragon lines. There's one that goes right through the pyramid towards the mountain.
Yeah.
And there's another one that intersects right there in the middle of the field. And you can see the orb highway there. They're just cruising down these lines, you know. And you know, when you're standing at that intersect right there, just the land itself, the dimensions collapse, basically. And the veils are very thin between worlds, so... You know, it's everything is going on. You got the orbs, you got the nature spirits, you got the ascended masters appearing there, and people photographing them, and ultra dimensionals. You know, just seems everything's unfolding there at the ranch.
And have you noticed a change from when you first got that property to what it's like now? Because you've worked with that property so much, and you've done so much healing and energy work there.
I had this master teacher come to this woman, and it's kind of humbling in a way. And she told me, she said, and I always talked about the land and eSETI, and she said, you are eSETI, you know, it's like, and I, you know, it's kind of a big shoes to step into, but the land is really, it had energy there when I started, but because we've been working with it, it's compounded and expanded, and all the contacts we've made there with the higher dimensional beings have blessed the energy as well, and all the awesome people that have been coming there and doing ceremony and things, and so it's just really taken off like gangbusters, and the energy's so strong there. The last medicine wheel we did there just threw the energy off the charts, because we did a galactic medicine wheel, and we had Era come in, which is what we would call Gaia from the Pleiades, and bless the earth and bring her energy into the earth. There were so many different things that have been going on there that you know, it'd be a book in itself to talk about all of it.
I think Ashley sent me a photo after you had that ceremony. There was a particular interesting looking cloud, whether it was a cloud or not.
Yeah.
Near Mount Adams.
Yeah, crazy cloud formations were going on then, and we had ships overhead and eagles come in, and you know, we, you know, bless the eagle to the east, you know, and all of a sudden you hear the eagles, you know, like bald eagles coming in. It was a lot of things happened there. What's amazing is there was gates in there and stargates in the wheel. And we had a Pleiadian gate, an Arcturian, Assyrian, and Orion gate. And we realized later that inner earth beings started coming in and connecting. And then some other groups started coming in and connecting. We go, well, we have to expand the wheel, you know.
Yeah.
It's, but I noticed that people in their soul, if they're from these other civilizations like the Pleiades or Orion or Turin or something like that, or Andromedan, they, when they go into that gate on the wheel and stand in that gate, they would just have a meltdown.
Yeah.
Really in a good way.
Yeah.
They just get downloads, they start crying, you know, and just tears of joy and really connect with their star family. So I thought that was amazing. But the energy's still there. It hasn't stopped.
I was just going to ask you, because we're coming back over to to your ranch next year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I was just wondering, whether that's still going to be there.
It'll still be there. Somebody asked me about that, you know, after we went through the medicine wheel and everything. It was just so powerful. Everybody was so blissed out. And they came up and asked me, so, well, what are you going to do? You know, what are you going to do with the medicine wheel? You know, they go, this is just so amazing. I said, oh, we plow it up tomorrow. You know, and you should see the look on their faces. they're pretty upset. I go, no, it's permanent. We have to respect this. It's permanent. I said, but you know, we are kind of taking people out, and a lot of people came and put their own personal crystals into it, things like that. So we kind of set up some rules there. You know, be sure and enter. You know. Enter from the east and be respectful and we take people out and show them how to go through the wheel and don't take anything, you know, these are, you know, and so we've actually turned it into a part of the ranch where people come and take them on a tour, you know, throughout the medicine. We don't charge or anything for that, you know,
because it's shut near the ranch, that's opening up Jeez, it'll be just before July next year or something like
that. Yeah, if you come to the ranch right now, you better bring a canoe because
it's flooded.
Oh man, I got pictures. It looks like the Mississippi River coming. And we have a lot of cleanup in spring, so we'll have a lot of work parties going on. But yeah, it's we'll probably open up April, towards the end of April, I think, hopefully. But right now it's flooding, there's snow, there's ice. Yeah, it's just a big soup. It's just a big mess right now.
Cool. Well, we better wrap it up. And thanks for having me on your show and you being on mine. And all that. There'll be a lot more from all of us. We're going to be doing a lot of updates from Australia here and James's tour and whatever else is going on interdimensionally. And
putting some pictures up.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. And I know in the next couple of days I'll get to see a kangaroo. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You won't ever see it sooner, you know?
Yeah.
Hopefully not close up on the front of the car.
Yeah. It's kind of like we have deer everywhere in Elkhart where we are, and here there's kangaroos everywhere, so a little different experience. But anyway, thanks for watching, and good on you from
down under.
Good day, mate.
Cheers.